how we treat ourselves teaches our partner how we should be treated.
Welcome to Mindset Reinvented. I'm Jack Trauma. Join me each week as we explore emotional well-being, relationships, health, and prosperity. Get ready to thrive.
As Audrey Hepburn once said, the best thing to hold on to in life is each other. And today, I'm thrilled to welcome Sally Maxwell to the show. Sally and her husband, Zach, run Maxwell Coaching, which is a practice dedicated to helping individuals and couples develop deep, meaningful relationships. And Sally brings a unique perspective to relationship coaching with her background as a competitive ski racer and nearly two decades of navigating relationship milestones with Zach. Now, Zach is not here on the podcast today, but their combined wisdom forms the foundation for Sally's insights. You're in for a real treat today, guys. So get your notepad out and be ready because Sally's going to share some strategies that can help you create stronger connections with the people in your life. Sally, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jack.
You're very, very welcome. Tell us, where did your passion come from for wanting to develop deep, meaningful relationships in your life?
It came from my relationship with Zach. When we first started dating, when we were 22, our coach actually helped us through some of the common milestones that new couples encounter. Things like how to navigate through when the honeymoon phase ends, how to deal with difficult in-laws, how to deal with cohabitation. And what I really experienced was that there are a set of tools and strategies that helped us get through those phases so beautifully, helped connect us and develop our intimacy stronger than it ever would have been before, actually using those common milestones as ways to connect us deeper. So I began thinking, like, why doesn't everybody know these tools? It almost felt like this secret that nobody was talking about, nobody was using. And that's when the seed was planted. I then went on to train as a generalist coach. And then 10 years into being a generalist coach, Zach and I decided that we really wanted to follow that original planted seed and focus in on relationship coaching because the tools that we had learned and the tools that we had practiced along the way just continued to make our relationship better and better and better.
I would imagine, and I think I read somewhere in your bio that you spent some time learning how to treat yourself as you want your partner to treat you. Can you elaborate a little bit on this? I would say that's probably an aha moment and how it changed your perspective on relationships.
Yes. So how we treat ourselves teaches our partner how we should be treated. And what this means is that the respect that we give ourselves,
the way that we honor our truth and our dreams and our desires, just by example, like leading by example, show our partner where our values are, where our boundaries are.
And what's so interesting is that when couples struggle with intimacy issues, boundary issues, fighting, what ends up happening is they have to then reestablish the boundaries that they didn't embrace for themselves so that they taught their partner that. And then they have to go back and learn, which is totally doable. But
ideally, if you're able to know what you need as a human being and know where your boundaries are, you can simply just educate your partner by being you. It can happen as soon as on the first date.
That's interesting because when you talk about boundaries, it's a concept that kind of gets blurred, I think, when people are in relationships. And I'm wondering, how does one go about establishing boundaries that are healthy and give that individual an opportunity, you know, to grow professionally, personally on their own, but also give what their partner needs in having a healthy relationship?
Well, the way to think about boundaries in this case is not like a hard brick wall. But if you think about boundaries like this, this is going to answer a lot of your question, which is a healthy boundary is something that's put in place that allows you and your partner to love one another safely and fully. So does that begin to answer that question for you?
Yes, it does. And I'm curious, how does one go about creating that boundary that creates that safe and healthy relationship?
So you can think about it as a negotiation. You can think about it like, okay, I want one thing. My partner wants another. Like, let's actually talk about bedtime. For example, so many of my clients, highly successful individuals, struggle with bedtime, struggle with enough hours of sleep so that they can rock the next day. And oftentimes there's one partner who wants to go to bed at 9 a.m. so they can wake up at 5. And then there's another partner who wants to do a little bit of work before they go to bed or wants to read or wants to have sex or wants to watch TV. That ends up pushing the boundary of the person who wants a 9 a.m. So what happens is the couples actually need to get together and go through old school negotiation. The first person says, here's what I need. The second person says, here's what I need. And then we get to a point where we honor both, but we find a middle ground. Maybe it looks like the person who wants to go to bed at 9 goes to bed at 9:30 and then wakes up at 5:30 instead. And then the person who wants to stay up a little bit later takes on hanging out with the kids early in the morning so that the person who woke up at 5:30 can do their meditation practice that they would have started at 5 p.m.
No, right? That makes sense. It's creating a happy medium. That's really the point. We're in negotiating things that are acceptable to both of you and kind of meeting in the middle.
Exactly. And there are so many boundaries that need to be redesigned and negotiated upon inside of the relationship that extend beyond regular day-to-day things. Things like sex life, like sex frequency, what people actually want. Things like money, what people value. Like sometimes I negotiate with clients where there's one partner who really feels compelled to be working 12-hour days in a high-octane job so that they can make millions and millions and millions of dollars, but they're not connected to why that's important. They're doing it, you know, motivated out of fear. And then the other partner is over here saying, hey, I want to hang out with you. I want to have a quality of life. I want you to come home at 6 p.m. so that we can be together. And this is where the negotiation of values comes in. So now we're not just negotiating bedtime. We're negotiating what your personal values are so that both human beings can challenge one another to grow, and then they can grow together.
To me, and it's fascinating because I know that a lot of couples who struggle in creating that connection has to do with some struggles that they may be dealing personally and have nothing to do with their partners. And what I find is that sometimes there's this codependent relationship between both parties. And, you know, you're either happy if your partner is happy and giving you the feedback that you need. If they're not giving that feedback to you, then you're not very happy. And I'm curious to hear your perspective on this. If you're really in a healthy relationship, you're not looking for validation through your partner. It's not their job to make us happy, so to speak. And I think what we need to do is recognize that we're all going to have good days, we're all going to have bad days. And when our partners are having bad days, we have to really just look at it, lean into them, you know, find out what's wrong, what's going on. Maybe they just need some space, but it's not about us and we shouldn't take it personally. That's my perspective. Am I on the right track in your view?
Absolutely, Jack. So before I start working with a couple as a unit, like two people, I actually work with each of them individually for a short period so that I can help them own what their wounds are, what their trip up areas are, so that then when they come together to design their future with their partner, they're very aware and have learned how to manage themselves functionally so that they don't end up blaming their partner for accidentally triggering them, or they don't blame their partner for accidentally having a human moment of their own and then taking it on for themselves.
That's brilliant, because what you're saying is at the root of all of this, it really comes down to how we view ourselves and how we view the world. And if we're in alignment with that, then the relationships that we develop are going to also be in alignment.
It is. The way that I love to think about relationships is that relationships are the ultimate personal development tool for this. So think about your relationship like it's a container. And you and your partner are stuck inside of this container if you choose to be married, if you choose to be monogamous. So you're stuck inside this container. And now you're going through life inside this container with different personality traits, different belief systems, different triggers, different wounds. And your lifeline is actually your partner. And what I mean by that is your partner is the one who really has the ability to teach you who need to learn so that you can function beautifully inside of this container. And then both people are beautifully forced to grow from the other person.
As complementary beings.
Yes. I get goosebumps when you say that, Jack. Like, that's exactly how it is.
So basically, the art of developing deep and meaningful relationships is by all means a learned skill.
Yep.
And so anybody can learn this.
Oh, anybody can learn them. The tagline to our coaching practice is learn to love better. You can actually just learn through a series of specific tools and strategies and communication techniques, things that many people say, well, why didn't your parents just teach you this? And, you know, if our parents could teach us that, our parents would have been more evolved than we are. That's not actually how evolution works, right? Our parents are the less evolved versions of us. And we really are here on this planet to learn and grow and evolve together and learn the tools that we need so that we can do that.
A lot of times people spend effort and energy doing things that take them away from what I think, and you probably agree, that one of the most important things that we can be as human beings on this planet is having meaningful relationships. I think it all starts with relationships. It starts with love. and compassionate caring for your fellow man. And yet most of us don't study that. We don't take an inventory of, you know, why we're feeling a certain way. And then we just suppress it. And then it builds and builds and builds. And then we become more of a reaction towards people and situations, and we don't understand why. And further away from understanding it, we have this disconnect. This is not only just for couples, this is for singles. And singles have their own set of unique challenges. And I think here it all starts with, how do you feel about yourself? How do you feel about the world? But if you had to say there's one key thing that people can do today to improve their relationships, to improve their connections, whether they're in a romantic relationship or even if they're single, if they're looking at their partner and they're saying, okay, I love this man or I love this woman, but there's a disconnect here, and figuring out what that disconnect is. And then for the single person, if they've been on the dating scene and they're, you know, suffering through all these dating apps, which I know are a big challenge for a lot of people, and they're a little down and they say, well, I'm never going to find my partner. And that becomes a mindset issue. How can they adjust their mindset in finding what they want?
It's such a good question. I'll answer it in two parts. I'll answer one for the singles, one for the couples. So for the singles and singles listening to this, I'm sure you've heard this before, but who you are is who you attract. Because whatever level of ick in ourselves that we're willing to tolerate, whatever capacity, however big your ick bucket is, you're actually going to attract a person who you can tolerate that size of ick bucket in them. Now, here's the thing. When you first meet them, you're like enamored by them. You're in the honeymoon phase, so you don't really notice their ick bucket. But it's about 6 to 18 months into a new relationship when you start to recognize their ick bucket.
Does it and or can it take that long? Or can somebody identify that ick bucket a little bit earlier on so that they don't spend all the time that they would normally spend with somebody that ends up not being who they want to be with?
Well, here's the fastest way to not spend time with somebody whose ick bucket is too big for you. You actually have to clean up your own ick buckets, because you are going to attract somebody who's going to tolerate your level. So if my ick bucket is this full, but then I get it down to here, good news, I'm now attracting people whose ick buckets are only this full, who are only like 2 inches full. You know, everyone has a little ick. So then we can navigate each other's ick. And this is where I always start when singles tell me, I'm attracting these losers, attracting these people who are, we've all heard it, right? Like, there are no good guys in New York City. That's just not the case. The case is you're actually attracting people with a bucket full of ick. So get to clean yours first.
100%. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And it really boils down to doing the work, and anything in life that's worthy of pursual, that's going to result in the kind of happiness that we want. It requires some reflection. It requires taking an inventory of the things that we're not, you know, right about in our hearts. And I think that's what we were talking about earlier. It's one of those things where it requires some work and there's no immediate payback. So there's no immediate gratification, but it takes some time. But the payoff is glamorous.
It's so glamorous, right? When you see people in relationships that are thriving, it is the most beautiful thing in the world, which I'll use as a segue to answer the second part of your question, which is, what's something that couples can do right now to improve their relationship? And we'll talk about why relationships disintegrate first or deteriorate first. So there are things that upset us or bug us about our partner that we actually don't communicate. And then what happens is we then grow a list of grievances against our partner. And then the law of confirmation bias comes in, which states that whatever your partner is doing, you're going to use the past evidence of from that grievance list to confirm that they are that person. So for example, when my husband and I first started dating, we both established that there's a policy inside of our house that we are going to rinse our dishes and put them in the dishwasher. And my husband that after we established the policy. And I got annoyed. I started grumbling to myself, like, what does he think? Does he think I'm his housekeeper? Does he think I'm his maid? Does he think I'm his Stepford wife? Like, what a selfish person. And I made up this story about him, but I didn't have the tools at that time to communicate to him, to deal with it. So you know what I did? I went and I took the dishes and I put them in the dishwasher, which just compounded the problem, because now I actually am his housekeeper. Weeks, a few months, he leaves his underwear on the floor. Same story. There he goes again, being that selfish person. And then maybe we're going out to dinner and he doesn't hold the door open for me like he usually does. And I say, well, there he is. I start to compile a list of grievances against my partner. And when this list of grievances compiles, whether it's big things or small things, whether it's leaving a cup of coffee in the sink or whether it's infidelity, this list of grievances compiles and then it calcifies around the relationship.
And this is where I see people in their 50s come to me and say, Sally,
we've just grown apart and we don't really like each other anymore. And I think we're going to get divorced. And that's really what creates that story. So how do you remedy that? One thing that you can do today for couples is ask yourself, what's one grievance that you have, big or small? One grievance, just choose one. And I recommend starting with a small one so you can get good at resolving them. But then the challenge is go have a conversation with your partner about this. And the reason it's a challenge is because courage. And I intentionally choose the word courage because cur has a French etymology, which means heart. Cur means heart in French. The real word means it takes heart to go and have the courage to have a conversation with your partner. But also most people don't know how to have difficult conversations. Yeah. So that's where my coaching comes in, and I'm able to teach how to have functional, difficult conversations inside of a romantic relationship.
And that's a really good point. And I think that there may be some fear among certain couples to have these very important conversations with their partners, because there is a very high degree of sensitivity there, and maybe it won't be received well. Something that you've come to a point where you say, you know what, this relationship is worth it to me. I need to change my perspective. I'm going to open up my heart. I'm going to have a conversation with my partner. And that courage kicks in and you have that conversation, but then your partner doesn't receive it very well. What happens at that point to the person that built up the courage to have that conversation? And what should that person do next?
What happens in that scenario is that the person who's trying to have a difficult conversation, their confirmation that they're not allowed to talk about difficult things with their partner gets confirmed even harder. So it's like nail gets driven into the hole even deeper and the relationship gets even more stuck. And in those moments, I cannot stress enough, find a professional, find an online guide, find someone to help you get unstuck. We do this with our bodies, right? Like if we have chronic back pain, we're going to go to a physical therapist to get us unstuck.
See, that's a really good point. And especially, and you know better than me, with relationship coaching, some people might feel that I don't need relationship coaching. As you know, I work with people that are in transition, and I always ask when they're looking to make changes in their lives, have they ever invested in a coach or a mentor? And the answer I get most of the time is no, I haven't. And they wonder why they've been stuck for 10 years, 15 and 20 years. And it's really true, even in what we're talking about here from a relationship perspective. I believe this intuitively is that who you become in life and who you are, the happiness that you can feel in your heart comes from a place of happiness yourself. But like, who's supporting you through your journey? Do you have a healthy relationship? Because if you do, then life can be super beautiful. Making an investment in oneself to get that guidance and maybe an intermediary, if the communication is broken down, I think is very, very important.
It is. And what's so amazing to me about the investment of working on your relationship and inside of relationship coaching is that when a couple invests in relationship coaching, they're actually training each other. They're both training to be each other's person who can lift them up for the rest of their life. So not only are they fixing their relationship, but they're actually creating growth and motivation.
100%. It's one of the best investments that one could make. And there's more that we can dive into. And I want to invite you to another podcast so that we can really dive into certain aspects of the dynamics of relationships. And this goes for both couples and singles. As we said earlier, both have a different set of circumstances, a different set of challenges. But all roads lead right back to us.
Absolutely.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
Again, I want to thank you. I really appreciate you, you know, coming to the podcast today. I'm actually very inspired by you and your relationship with Zach and the lives that you're changing. So I'd love to have you back on the show if you're open to that.
Absolutely, Jack. I love talking with you. And thank you for your time and for hosting me.
You betcha. What we're going to do is we're going to have all of your links, your website, your social media links as well in the show notes so that our friends of the show can learn more about Sally's work. And, you know, I want to thank all of you for tuning in to Mindset Reinvented. If you found some value here, please pay it forward and share our show with others who may benefit by listening. And guys, stay tuned for our next guest, Phyllis Ginsberg. Phyllis is a best-selling author. She's an international speaker, and she's also a therapist who will show you how to go from just surviving to thriving. And it's going to be a phenomenal discussion. And if you're not on our email list, please visit mindsetreinvented.com, and then you'll get notified of our newest episode. Until then, keep living your best life, and we will see you soon.
If you like this episode of Mindset Reinvented, please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you get your podcasts from. It helps more than you know. Thanks. See you next time.